The historic and high in a historic and highly controversial move, Israel's cabinet voted on Sunday unanimously to dismiss the Attorney General Gali Baharav-Meara, the very person prosecuting Prime Minister Netanyahu on corruption charges. It's the first time a sitting Attorney General has faced dismissal mid-term, and the Supreme Court has already issued a temporary injunction. Critics call it a threat to democracy. Supporters say it's long overdue reform. Well, I'm joined now by Dov Lipman, who is a member of the 19th Knesset and is the founder and CEO of Yad Le'olim, to unpack the legal, political, and constitutional implications of this dramatic development. Dov, thank you so much for joining us again here on the Home Run. How serious is this move?
Thank you so much
And
for having
what
me.
does How serious is this move, and what does a unanimous cabinet vote tell us politically?
So, one of the things that I try to be is apolitical. So, I'm not going to represent one side over the other, but I think it's important for the audience to understand the two sides of this question. The government is saying that there's an attorney general who they believe has a political agenda that goes against the agenda of the government, and therefore she's stopping the government from doing what they believe they're elected to do. And therefore they feel that in that situation, she has to be removed. The other side is saying that's the role of an attorney general. It is to put brakes on actions that the government might do, which they feel wouldn't pass the muster of the court. So that's the tension that exists between this. And like almost everything in Israel, the country is very much divided, I would say close to 50-50 on this issue.
Dov, why is bypassing the Independent Appointment Committee such a red flag for legal experts?
They feel that there's a regular procedure that's in place, and the fact that they're trying to circumvent that procedure indicates that perhaps they don't have all the legitimacy behind the decision to remove her from the position. The government's response is the committee itself is built against the government's agenda, and therefore they do believe they have a long list of issues that she has, in their opinion, gone against what her role should be, and therefore they had no choice but to circumvent the regular process. Once again, a classic example, even on that issue, again, right down the middle, supporters of the government versus those who oppose the government.
Given that Baharav-Meara is prosecuting Netanyahu, how does this affect perceptions of fairness?
In terms of how it people perceive Netanyahu, there's no doubt that, and this is something which is a important political issue in Israel, a majority of Israel is right wing. If Netanyahu wasn't in the picture for the moment as the prime minister, there would be a very strong right wing government with many parties that are in the opposition. There are people who are right wing who disagree with him and see a lot of the decisions through the lens of his own judicial issues, and perhaps that's impacting this decision as well. So it definitely leads to greater criticism of the prime minister. Those who very much support the prime minister double down and say this is another example of people trying to bring down the prime minister using any vehicle they have, and this emboldens them even further to move forward with this kind of a move.
Can the Supreme Court overturn this dismissal, and how likely is that?
I'm sorry, Paul, I was not able to hear the question.
Can the Supreme Court overturn this dismissal, and how likely is it?
So the Supreme Court obviously has been the major focus of many of the issues that have been going on in Israel, certainly the judicial reform before October 7th, and now it's been brought back. The Supreme Court does have the official authority to step in when it comes to these kinds of issues and decisions. That's actually part of what the right wing has said is the problem they have with the court, that it steps in and interferes with everything that they want to do. And therefore, they want to have a court which better represents where the electorate of Israel and the population of Israel is. So, to answer your question, is yes, they can step in. And the prime minister has been consistent that he's not going to go against something which the Supreme Court decides. But the hope is, I think, from the government side, that the Supreme Court won't interfere with a process of this kind, which they feel is really more in the jurisdiction of the government.
Job, I appreciate what you're saying in terms of how equally split the Israeli population is over this issue, and that you don't want to represent one side or the other. But if I can ask you, and if you don't want to give your opinion, if you can just talk about how Israelis feel, whether you see this as part of a larger effort to weaken judicial independence.
So I think the thing that bothers Israelis possibly the most is that this is all happening while we're in the midst of the war and the hostages and crucial decisions that have to be made, while it's happening along the lines of the Haredi draft law, not really moving forward, that bothers many Israelis, even those who are more supportive of the government. I can understand the right-wing side saying, we've been elected, that's where the country is, and we don't have the capacity to govern the way we want to govern because of the interference, in their opinion, of the courts. And the other side says that's what the courts are for. The courts are there to make sure that the minority isn't, you know, trampled upon. And that's where the debate is that really happening or not? But it certainly is a crucial moment in Israeli history in terms of defining what the role of the court should be vis-a-vis the legislature.
What has been the public and civil society response so far?
So the truth is, you know, it's also right down the middle. You'll have, you know, media, those channels that are against the prime minister and the government will certainly speak loudly against this, as well as the opposition parties. And then the media that's supportive of the prime minister and the government and the coalition parties will be supportive. To be honest with you, I don't hear it talked about very much on the streets. On the streets, you're hearing the discussion about what should we do with Gaza? What should we do about the hostages? And I don't think people are as focused on this specific issue, you know, as they go about their day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm. And Dov, would you know, if this stands, what precedent does it set for future attorney general appointments?
It certainly sets a precedent in terms of the capacity for any government to remove someone from position if they don't feel that they're going along with what they're suggesting. On the other hand, this entire role of the attorney general is kind of a gray area because, you know, is the role to represent the government? Is the role to tell the government what it shouldn't be able to do? So I think it'll play a role in determining what this position is moving forward. But I don't think whatever happens now is the end of the story with this topic and the entire judicial issue. I believe this is an issue that we'll be debating and dealing with for years to come.
And when you say it's not the end of the issue, what should Israelis and those of us living outside of Israel, what should we be watching for next?
I think certainly, you know, what happens specifically with this attorney general, but broader, there's going to be new elections at some point. What happens after that? What are the appointments like? What decisions are made in terms of judicial reform. And this is going to be a process. I remind everyone, you know, Israel is 77 years old. That's baby steps in historic terms. And we're still trying to work out what does it mean to be a Jewish and democratic state in the 21st century. And that's going to take time. So we're blessed to be part of that process now. And the key is that we remain strong as a country and don't polarize ourselves too much as we go through those deliberations and decisions.
Wise words. That was Dov Lipman, former Knesset member and founder and CEO of Yad Lo'olim, offering insight into a political moment that could reshape the future of Israel's legal system. And as this case now heads to the courts, all eyes, as we heard from Dov, are on what comes next for the government, the judiciary, and Israeli democracy itself. Dov, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.